The question today is, what is God like? This is part number 17 of the answer, of an exhaustive answer in which we have 11 messages on CD or tape. We'd be glad to send you just for the asking, that looks to the Bible and see what His names represent and how they portray our Lord, our God, if you please. And then we've looked at several of them, and I'll not recap right now those names, but we're talking about names that reflect God's faithfulness and His love. God's relationship to His people. And we saw the names of the fact that God gives security to His people. We're looking at that today. He's our shield. He's our defender. He's our fortress. He's called our refuge. He's our dwelling. He's the rock. He's our sanctuary. He's a strong tower. I didn't give you the scripture for those, but look them up. They're there in the Bible. And then we also see names that shows that God fights for His people. He's called the Lion. It'd be good to have a lion on your side, even though I know the devil's referred to as the lion as well. But it's good to have the lion, a strong one, the king of the beast. And that's who our Lord is, King of Kings. He's called the shield. He's called the Lord mighty in battle. Psalms 24, verse number 8, he said, who is the king of glory? And then he answers that, says, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And by the way, folks, this is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament who revealed Himself to John on the Isle of Patmos. And then we see another names that shows that God helps His people. He's called an ever-present help. Psalms 46, verse number 1, he said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then we see names that God sustains, shows that God sustains His people. He's referred to as the dew. A dew just forms. Oh, let God form all over you is what it amounts to. He's the dew to Israel, he says. He's our dew. He's our life. He's our light. He's shade. He's sun. He's the sun. He's the fountain of living waters. Jeremiah 2:13, he said, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So he's the fountain of living waters. We see names that shows God cares for His people. As we dealt with Jehovah Ra as our shepherd, He's our potter. He's known as the husbandman. He's the lamp. He's the keeper. He's the one known as the one who sees me. Also, we see names of God disciplines His people. He's said to be a consuming fire. Again, He's said to be a lion. He's a leopard. He's a wild animal. He's a bear robbed of her cubs. He's a snare. Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 14, He said, and He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, they rejected light and stumbled over the simplicity of the Messiah and became a snare to them. May God help us not to stumble over the simplicity and yet allow God to do a completed work in our hearts. God is also names that show God is the reward of His people. He's called my song, my inheritance, my portion. Psalm 73:26, he said, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My portion forever. He's called the crown of glory. Isaiah 28, verse number 5, in that day shall the Lord of hosts, the warring name of God, be a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of His people. So He's called the crown of glory. Now, there's a lot of miscellaneous names, and you've heard them from time to time, and they're overlapping, and they all, most, a lot of your names that's translated God and Lord and different things are all point back to Elohim, Jehovah, God Almighty, or El Shaddai, and so do these names many times, but then they also point forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you realize the miscellaneous names you've heard is the great physician. Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, Jesus was talking to those in Nazareth one day, reading out of Isaiah about the Messiah, about the Anointed One, and referring to Himself. When He said this, and He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In other words, He is the one who wants to heal the brokenhearted. So the healing it's talking about is spiritual healing. It's not just talking about physical healing. True, He is the great physician. He is the Creator who created the body. He knows all about it, and He can heal it. And if any healing is done, the Lord has to do it as the great physician. But folks, that when He talks about His healing, He's talking about spiritual healing. See, Jesus would never had to been robed in flesh. God would never had to robe Himself in flesh in the person of Jesus through a virgin's womb if He just wanted to make the blind man see, the dumb man speak, the deaf man hear, the lame man walk. He could have done that and never left glory, but He did He had to robe himself in flesh to become man, to understand man and take upon him the form of a servant, of humanity, so that he might die on the cross of Calvary in our place. But he is the great physician that heals physically. Now, folks, there's a lot of people who believe in what they call divine healers. I want to tell you, you better stay away from them. They're not of God. They're not led in paths of righteousness. They're Jehovah Ra's, not leading them down the paths of the Scripture, because Jesus is the only one who can heal anyone. Now, you can pray, and the Bible says the prayer of faith, and you can anoint with oil. God says that. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit James brings out, in which you are to do that. But he says the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. It's not the individual. It's God who does that, the great physician. And therefore, when he talks about healing, he's talking about spiritual healing in this case, because Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That's not physical healing he's talking about. That's talking about healing of the soul, spiritual healing. He's also called Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23, whenever the angel was speaking to Joseph and giving him instruction about Mary is going to have a child, and he called his name Jesus, but he also quoted Micah when he said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. In other words, it means, and Emmanuel means that God's with us, and Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He's also the water. The Bible said in John 4:14, he said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I'll give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He is the water that you need. He is the one that he revealed himself to the woman at the well that day, and she went away with a well sunk in her soul, having living water, if you please. He's also called the Word. In John chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says this. He said in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And if you analyze that and study that, that means he's the one who was with God, present with God, face to face with God. The Word was means existence without origin. And then verse 14 said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So he is the Word with a capital W. He's also himself said he was the bread. John 6:35, he said, "And Jesus said unto them," and that's to a group that had been filled with 5 loaves and 2 fish and wanted to make him king because they had been filled with 5 loaves and 2 fish at the miracle of the dividing of that. But he said, "I am the bread of life." Unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." In other words, you need to eat of him. And he goes on later to say, "He that eats of me, unless you eat of me, you'll not have life in you." And that doesn't mean to partake the Lord's Supper or some wafer that some priest says turns into the body of Jesus. That's cannibalism. No, it's in typology. But eating of him and taking of him means wholehearted reception of him as Lord. And that takes a work of Holy Ghost conviction to bring you to that place. And so therefore, you need to realize that and see that. And then also, we need to see he's known as the door. As the door. You realize John 10:9, he said this. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." He's the way in, he's the way out. And that's what law does. Law preaches to you so they'll back you up in the corner and show you that the law can't save. Law never could save, never has saved, never will save. But Jesus said, "I'm the door, I'm the way out." Thank God for the law, because it helps us to see our need for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the door. He's also called the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 14, verse number 6, there one of the disciples came to Jesus and said, I would see, who is he in essence? Who really are you? And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way," no other way, "the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the door, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, and Jesus is the light. John chapter 8, verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them," that group had gathered there, and he spoke unto them, and saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall walk in darkness, but shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You seek him and go with him. And he said later in John 8:21, if "you continue in my words, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If you'll obey the light God gives you, he'll bring you to the point that you'll be saved. He's the light. He's also the rock on which the church is built. Matthew 16:18, he said, "And I say unto thee, And he's talking to the church. Now, I know Peter was no instrument there, but Peter's the one he's talking to as the spokesman for the New Testament church. He said, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter." And that word Peter means Petros, but it doesn't mean a stone or a rock. It means a piece of the rock. And up on this rock, up on myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, therefore, the church not built on Peter. Peter was never a pope. He had a mom-in-law. If he had a mom-in-law, he had to have a wife. Therefore, disqualified to be what the Catholic Church calls a pope. He wasn't built on Peter. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock. He's also called the head. In Ephesians 1:22, he said, and talking about the Lord Jesus, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's also called the chief cornerstone, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. But unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Jesus was disallowed by the Jews, didn't want any part of him. And the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, in the book of John, chapter 1. And as a result, but he's made the head of the corner. He's the chief cornerstone. He's also called the high priest. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He understands us because he was robed in flesh. He was tempted in every point as you and I, and yet he didn't sin. And he became our high priest, the one that qualified to go in the Holy of Holies and sprinkle his own blood upon the mercy seat. And he didn't have to sprinkle any for his own sin like Aaron did and all the other high priests, because he is the sinless Son of God, God incarnate. He's also called the Comforter in John chapter 14, verse number 16, when Jesus is about ready to leave off this earth, go to the cross, and then, of course, resurrect and go into heaven. But he said it with the disciples there, "And I'll pray the Father, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another Comforter, another of the same kind as I am, that he may abide with you forever." And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ, our Comforter. Folks, I want to tell you, we need to realize these names reflect the goodness of God, the grace of God. They reflect the person of God and his character, and show how he operates and what he does. May God help us to line up with him and what he says, and realize what God's like. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.